Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome. Welcome back to the Dr. Cappuccino Show. You know, I miss you guys through the week. And I'm always talking about, the show, these topics, and our beloved Colonel William Harrison. And here we are again, Saturday, September 15th. The year is almost gone. And I hope you guys know that whatever you hear on this show is for the good of you and your family and, of course, the community at large. Now, you know, there's been a lot of talk in the news about world chaos, and people are wondering how can they be happy and just unable really to curtail the chaos in their own lives. We're not talking right now about the community. We're talking about in the lives of our family members, our husbands, our wives, ourselves. What's going on out there? We're hearing all kind of news about these floods and about cops being killed and about murders of children, mothers, fathers turning on their own kids. I mean, what kind of chaos is this? It's bad. It sounds bad, and it is, especially when people feel they can't do anything about what is going on. And they're saying, oh, I'm hurting, I'm sad, I'm unable to cope. Suicide reports are up over 1,000 because people are saying, you know, this stuff ain't what I thought it was. And, of course, that's not true. If there's a way in, there's a way out. My father always said that. But when we look out at our politicians and we look out at our entertainers and our sports figures, they don't have any answers. What in the world is going on? I want to be happy. How can I be happy? I want to do more than eat and sleep. Well, today we're going to talk about that inner chaos, outer chaos, and, of course, the chaos that's going on in our world and how we can cope. But I hope Colonel Harrison is on the line. Are you there, Colonel?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Cappuccino, listening audience. I'm with you again this morning. And thanks for the invite. I hope all is well with you and the listening audience.
Well, you have an eternal invite. Even if I don't invite you, just hop on Saturdays and you know, if you're anywhere in the cosmos, you are more than welcome. Now, Colonel, I'm sad too, because all week long I've heard nothing. Nothing but chaos after chaos after chaos. This mistake, that mistake, a neighbor mistake, a friend mistakes. What in the world can we tell our listening audience to encourage them to hold on and walk through, even sit through, crawl through if you have to, the chaos that we see going on? I mean, never before in the history of the world has so many things been happening to so many people all at the same time. Colonel, are you experiencing any members or friends that you know that are going through what they call just utter mayhem, chaos?
Yes, Dr. Cappuccino, not so much as personal friends, but some of the congregational members are caught up in trials and tribulations and chaos, and the world calls it trials and tribulation. We call it from a church perspective, caught up in challenges and trials and tribulations, and most of it, Doc, I found from a civil perspective as a police officer 38 years has to do with the breakdown of the orderliness in our society. There's a lack of respect. People have a lack of respect for one another. There's a whole lot of disrespect. There's not a lack of love. And so that breeds strife, that breeds tension, that breeds hatred. And so we have gotten away from being a loving society, being Americans, the home of the brave and the land of the free. We've gotten away from being a loving society to being an antagonistic society, as if society is turning against itself. And again, that goes back to the salient principles of the family. And I go back to the hub, and I have to, because if I didn't teach my children my four children respect at home, and how to respect my wife and me, and their relatives and their friends and their schoolmates and others in the neighborhood, then they're going to grow up in society just like a uncaged animal, wild and crazy and loose and destructive. And so that's how society is. So we have the chaos because the foundation of the family has broken down. It's broke just like a spoke in a wheel is broke, Dr. Carpentina.
Oh, my God, that is scary. And if it's broke, that means the people that have broken it, they're broke. What can we, my God, what can we do? I mean, people are just crying everywhere left and right. And I agree with you that we are living in a broken world, a broken society. We're broken. How did we get in this shape?
We deviated from the principle that was set forth from the beginning, Dr. Carpentino. Some refused to acknowledge the creator, whatever name, title they want to call the creator. There's a creator. There's a superior being. And as a result of denying or acknowledging that superior being, most call God, some call Allah, some call other names, Jehovah, so forth and so on. We have turned away from that which is set in place. The creator is a God of order, not disorder. And so we have gone against the order that the creator of everything, of heaven and earth and universe, created everything. And that's what I believe. We've gone away from that. And so the absence of orderliness is disorder. The absence of peace is chaos. And so that's where we are, because we have turned away from the orderliness of what this world has been for thousands of years. And so that's where we are. That's the end result.
That's where we're at, and that's the result. Because, you know, I know there's all kind of groups and organizations and clubs, societies that have adopted a free-for-all. I'm going to do what I want. We're going to do what we want. We're going to change the rules. We're going to change the laws. Whatever we feel like doing, that's what we're going to do, whether it's really wrong or right or it's acceptable in our society. And we see the upbringing of these children. And especially the activities of our youth show that that's just not good. There's got to be some kind of a set of rules or a set of laws similar to the Supreme Court of the land that allow people to be governed sanely and, of course, their actions to be called on the carpet if they're not. So we have groups of people, factions of people that are going about the land saying that I got these rights, I can do what I want. I got these rights over here, I can kill if I want. I got these rights over here, I can carry weapons day and night if I want. I don't know what the answer is, but one thing I do know, and you touched on it, society has gotten away from some form of leadership, high governorship, high participation in acts of worship. You know, years ago, you know, every Sunday, there was a ritual in our home. Everyone got up, they knew, you know, if you get up in this house, you're going to church. You aren't going to stay here and I'm in there worshiping. If you're sick, come on, lay on the pew. If you don't want to go lay on the pew, lay outside on the front porch. But you're not going to stay here and not honor a supreme presence that has fed you all week, given you water all week, saw to your safety all week, and made sure that whatever you needed, it was there. Do you think that's also part of the decline? Parents not really governing their households correctly from the start.
Absolutely. That's the heart of it, Doug. Let me give you an illustration by way of example. There are people who love pets. They love animals, and they have animals in their homes as pets, and that's fine. And I think more proportionally have dogs than cats. I find it very interesting that not only do some spend a lot of money aren't certain breeds of dogs, certain breeds of cats, but they train them. They train the cats and they train the dogs not to potty in the house and not to get up on the sofa and not to get up on the bed. And when they let them, when they turn them loose in the backyard or they run around, but if they turn them loose in the front yard, not to go out on the sidewalk, not to go out in the street. We spend all this money and put all this time into these animals that we call pets, yet many are not willing to train their children in the way they are to, how they are to conduct themselves. And that's a travesty, because we're willing to train animals, but some are not willing to train their children. We have to train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And if you don't train him in the home, the streets and the world and the community and crime will train that child. And drugs and violence will train your child. And gangs will train your child for you.
Wow, wow, wow. That is just really awesome. And I feel your passion in saying that, because it's absolutely true. We will take our pets for walks every morning and give them the choice food, but then our children, get them, get whatever you want, buy whatever you want to eat. Ain't nothing here. I mean, we treat them worse than we treat the animals. And so now these roaming gangs and killers, I mean, you can't pick up a paper without seeing someone 10 killing their siblings. I read something yesterday where a 14-year-old smothered four kids in the family because he was trying to watch TV and they were running around playing and jumping up and down. He got up and just smothered every one of them. This was yesterday. I mean, that's not the tip of the iceberg. The mother defended him, saying, well, I've tried to get the other kids to be quiet when he studies. So, I mean, you talk, that's a mental chaos right there. And then all the other stories that come across our desk Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 7 days a week, 24/7. It shows that our world that we're living in is just fed and festered on by chaos. It seems like there's 23 hours of chaos and 1 hour of a fake peace. You've written a book, Colonel, and it in the entitlement of that book, it is chaos. It's a call and a story about the history of chaos in America, I think really worldwide, and how chaos got started with the First World War, but then some say, no, it started when the slaves were let out of slavery. We didn't have this kind of mess we have today, but when the slaves were let loose by Lincoln, we had nothing but problems. And of course, you know, speaking in terms of the black man, while he was in slavery, he could be controlled. He ate when we said eat. He went to the bathroom, we let him loose. So right now, that kind of thinking in America has been very pervasive, but we see most of it now because the world is so chaotic and people are looking to finger point. Is there any particular race or creed or organization of people that is responsible for the chaos in America, according to your book? Let's just segue into your book. What is the title of it?
The answer to civil unrest in the land. The answer to civil unrest in the land.
But it talks about chaos and chaotic conditions in the land. Is that true?
Yes, Doc. Yes, and it talks about what breeds chaos. Whenever there is a separation, segregation, division, bias, prejudice, hatred, it breeds contempt. Contempt breeds dislike, breeds discord, and it leads to disunity. And as a result, people don't come together and don't respect each other as they ought to. And therefore, it leads to chaos. I'm going out against you because I don't like you. I don't like how you look. I don't like who you are. I don't like what race and nationality you are, your educational level. And so all of this breeds contempt. And it immigrates from the war, part of it slavery, but most of it from World War I, II, then Korean conflict, Vietnam War. Then it comes into these factions of right-wing groups that they had at Ruby Ridge in Waco, Texas. And then from there, it comes right on up into the 60s, wherein we had Dr. King was involved in the civil rights movement. And that was patterned after Mahatma Gandhi of India, a nonviolence movement. See, and through all of it, and through all of this transition of years and transition of turmoil and so forth, nothing is constant but change. But yet, we have evolved right back to where we were almost back in the 60s, to a turbulent society where people are arguing against each other and turning against each other. And war is not the answer. The late, great Marvin Gaye said, only love can conquer hate. So I'll pause there, Doc.
Well, he sure did say that, and I love Marvin Gaye. I used to try to pantomime some of his songs, you know, back in the day. I won't say what year, but back in the day. Okay. Now, he said, only love will conquer hate. If that's the case, what is the problem? Everyone's crying out for love. Everybody's crying out for someone to love them. Everyone's paying for sexual love if they have the money, if they get a chance. I mean, so... Where is this love? Roberta Flack sang the song with Donny Hathaway. Where is the love? Where is it? If love will conquer hate, where is it? How can we bring that type of love into our lives on a day-to-day basis?
Love is the most powerful four-letter word in the dictionary. It can either be spoken of as a noun or can be spoken of as a verb. It's an action word. Love means compassion, basically. To have compassion and feelings and empathy and sympathy for someone else. And to find it, we go back again to self. First, I got to love myself before I can love someone else. And to love oneself, we got to find something within ourselves or about ourselves that we like, whether it's our appearance, whether it's the way we dress, whether it's the way we talk, how we groom ourselves, my self-esteem, how good I think I am compared to my fellow man, my fellow sister. So it goes back to finding love within oneself. We have to go deep down within one's innermost soul to find that ingredient they need so they can love themselves. And once they start loving themselves, that love on the inside will show on the outside as you interact and I interact and talk to others and socialize. And so forth with others. But we got to find the love on the inside. We found it on the inside, then we can display it on the outside and show it toward others. And so we're uncaring, unloving in society because most don't really love themselves. We dress up, we refresh, we look good, we smell good, we feel good. But within, we're just an empty vase, without any love, feelings, and very little emotions.
And that's very true because that's what the experts on suicide will show. And so if the suicide rate is skyrocketing, and they say it's because people are not, you know, seeing the fruits of their labors, you know, whatever they've been doing or done, you know, it just didn't work. And they're saying, you know what, I don't know if it's me, I don't know if it's my environment, but, you know, I'm checking out of here. I'm not going to waste any more time here. This is nothing. This isn't what I expected. This isn't what I thought was going to happen. So it's not me to me taking up no more space, wasting time. And I'm not, you know, trying to, you know, sound like someone that's contemplating suicide, even though in some earlier dates I have, to be honest about it. You feel that you're put in some kind of an emotional cage and there's no way out. So when you say they must go in there and try to find something to like or love about themselves or going in and find something that's good about themselves. They're not doing that. I'm not sure why, because I'm not a suicide expert, but I would have to say that ultimately something is missing. Maybe something they set their heart and soul on just didn't work. Maybe this feeling about, you know, God, you know, I've been calling on God and, you know, I haven't gotten anywhere. So, you know, if he's not helping me, he's probably helping someone else, and that means they're more worthy than me. I'm checking out. I mean, how can we
encourage our listening audience to go within. How do they go within? I mean, you know, if we're saying, okay, you got to go in, you got to find something good about yourself. I find that very hard to do because, you know, there's scripture that says no one is good, no, not one. So that's already established as a top feeling for people saying, you know, I'm going to kill myself, you know, I'm going to check out of here. You could base it on that because if they feel that they're not any good, they're not. They're really not. They are not good because scripture says that they are not good, no, not one. So not overruling that. How would a person go within to find good when spiritually they are not? Let's kind of talk on that. You're a minister. I'm pretty sure you have some answer for that. What do you
yes.
think? Let us hear it.
Sure, Doc. The doctrine, which means the teaching of that particular passage of Scripture, what it's really referring to, it's not referring to so much as each of us individual as a human being is not good or don't have any worth. It's referring to the fact that only God is good, only God is righteous, because God is without sin. We are human beings. We were born into a sinful world, so we have faults and we have defects, and so we still have good qualities.
If we're born in sin, I got to stop you on that. What are the good? If we're born in sin, what are the good qualities? Now we know Jesus Christ. Now we're segueing. Hey, you guys, yay! We're segueing into religion. Okay, so if the scripture says no one is good, only God is good, what really are you saying? Are you saying that scripture is not what it was written to say? Help!
Yes, I'm saying that scripture is not condemning humanity, a man, woman, a child, as not being of no good at all to themselves and or to the world or anyone else. The scripture just simply is being used as a parable to say if we're going to look up to a standard, or we're going to look up to a person, we're going to look up to a being that's good, then we ought to look up to God, because God is the only one who is truly righteous, and righteous meaning that God is good, and good meaning that God is right, which means righteous. Let me interject this dot. Those who believe in God, Yahweh, Yeshua, Allah, God created mankind with free will, the right to decide what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, where we want to go and not go. And so God created us with free will to accept one another or reject one another, to accept him or reject him. And so the problem in trying to tap into loving themselves, they have the free will. They have the innate, the creative ability to love themselves. So if one doesn't love themselves, it's because they're not exercising the right free will choice to love themselves. And so that's what the problem is that we have free will, but some of us are not tapping in that free will so that we will learn how to use it and how to love one another. If we love oneself, then we can learn to love others. So free will is the key that we'll create with, and then we'll find our self-worth. And I could have thrown in the towel a long time ago, years ago, because I grew up in a segregated environment down south back in the mid-40s. And I didn't have many choices as a young Afro-American male, but my mother instilled principles in me, spiritual principles or moral principles, tell me that I was somebody, I can achieve, and I am going to be somebody in life. And I grabbed that, I grasped that, and I digested, and I held on to it, and it has carried me to this day.
Well, that sounds wonderful, but you have many that don't have parents. A mother, father that is telling them every other day, two times a day, that you are somebody, you're going to be somebody, you're this or that. And so that brings us right back to the point of people saying, well, just go within, you know, you can find yourself and try to love yourself. That's not happening because, as I mentioned earlier, the suicide rates are just really going up there. And if they're not killing themselves. Look at that, made an attempt and just happened to, you know, stay alive one more day. So those that were not goaded to love themselves, how are you going to do that? I guess if you put on some clothes, oh, I am loving myself now because I got a new suit on, or I love myself now because I have new shoes. That still tends to be a big problem in our world, not just in America. People loving themselves. How do I do that? You know, and I think that stems back to our ministries. You're doing a great job in yours. But over across the nation, these churches have obviously failed. They're the ones that have been entrusted with the word of God to tell people, you know, God is love. If God is love, then you need to love yourself. That is not being heard. I don't hear that at all, because in some ministries they feel that's narcissistic. You know, oh, I'm so pretty. Oh, I'm so, I look so good, and I this and I that. You're not finding that. People are throwing in the towel. And that type of teaching would have to come from a Bible-based church, I guess, or some kind of Christian ministry. It's not being done. That's what I think is one of the causes of people across the nation, you know, not feeling good about themselves. But now, Romans 3:10, I just pulled it up here. It says, as 3:10 through 12, English Standard Version, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. I believe this is Paul talking, because he's the so-called writer of Romans. But this was not any old. This was for the now, new now, then, when they were under that Roman captivity. So he was telling all the people there, I guess, that was listening to him, I'm going to go back and really study that. Don't come up here trying to be a big cat. Don't come up here trying to, because you guys are roaming after other gods. The Romans had several gods, a lot of gods, animal gods. He's saying, get off your high horse. This is what it is. And the only way that you're going to be able to turn back around is to put flesh. He said, destroy your bodily functions, your body parts. He said, put all them under dominion. Yeah. Because you are not all that same one that wrote this. He says, put them body parts under bondage, because you are not all that. So in other words, he was trying to tell people, says, this is how it is. You done turned away. Now you've got to follow the Christhood back to your Creator. If we read more into Romans 3 and the fourth chapter of Romans, that's a very interesting book. So right now, with so many, 2,000 plus centuries ago since this was written, here we are, 2018 going to 2019. People are still unhappy. They're sad. Never before in the history of man has there been so many people saying, you know, I'm just going to give up. I don't know what, no matter what I do, it's not good enough. Well, we can go back to Romans 3. No matter what I try to do, it doesn't turn out right. It's not any good. We can go back to this, because if a person is not innately any good, then it would appear that he would have to pray on Christ's sacrifice. He said, you know, I came that you might have life, you might have it in abundance. I came. So since he has come, I would imagine that for anyone to say that they are somebody, I am this, I'm all that and more, it would have to be from a spiritual standpoint and not just physical. So now we go back to this other scripture that talks about, you know, the fool says there's no God. You've got to have some aspect of a God, a God, the one and only true God. To actually come into a wholeness. And see, now we're supposed to get into your book. So we're going to hold your book over, Colonel Dr. Harrison, because I really want to get into some of those chapters, because it goes with, I think the first two chapters talks about the main chaos was slavery and those coming out of slavery. I know my grandfather made a comment about blacks coming out of slavery. I was going to mention it, but I better not. But we need to give the people the base definition of chaos. If you guys can hold on one more week, of course I hope you do. But we want to get into your book. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison. You always come on with some very good points, and I just love you for that. Thank you so much, sir. And I know the audience, they're listening on the system. Hey, you guys, we got 10 seconds. Come back next week to the Dr. Cappuccino Show channel. Call in number, do whatever. But we want to hear from you, please. Next week on the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Thank you. Have a great weekend.